brought to you by GMSDC Radio and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Let's Talk Small Business with your host, Stacy Key.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Let's Talk Small Business. This is Stacy Key, your host, and I'm delighted you're taking time out of your busy day to join us. This edition of Let's Talk Small Business, we're continuing our segment on healthcare. As you know, we've had some recent things going on nationally as it relates to healthcare, and it is the hot topic of the day. And so we wanted to continue a dialogue around healthcare, and today we've got an outstanding guest with us, Dr. Lenora Coleman, and she is going to be talking with us about healingourvillage.com and healing our village. And she is going to share with us some things that she's doing around this whole healthcare and her perspective on some things that can help us from a healthcare perspective. And before we get started, I want to take a moment to first of all thank our sponsors, the Coca-Cola Company, Georgia Power, and the Cox Communication of Companies. And so, Dr. Coleman, let's hear. We were talking before we actually got on air, and she's got some pretty interesting things going on, I'm going to tell you. So take a minute and tell us about Healing Our Village, how it came about, and some of the things that you've got going on with Healing Our Village.
Well, hello, Stacy, and I want to thank you today for letting me to come and talk to your audience. I'm a small business. I'm relatively new to the Atlanta area. I've only been here about 2 years. And we are here in the Atlanta area trying to heal the village. Healing Our Village started about 15 years ago. It was a company that actually came into fruition because my pastor died a sudden death in the pulpit. I lived in Los Angeles, California at that time. And he had hypertension. And he had a little bit of diabetes. They call it a touch of sugar, but there is no such thing
as that. It's a touch.
Yeah, a touch. If diabetes is touch, you got it. So he ended up actually passing at the 6 o'clock service. And I decided at that point to dedicate my life as a pharmacist to improving the health care of populations of color, not only here in the United States, but abroad as well. We work in the Caribbean as well as we've done some work in Nigeria. So Healing Our Village is a healthcare company, an advocacy company, really focused on helping people of color to do a better job at managing their chronic diseases like diabetes, hypertension, heart failure, asthma. A lot of people have depression, don't know it.
The mental health piece has gotten a lot of focus lately as well, and making it, you know, it's okay to have mental health, you know,
yeah.
Making it cool in some ways to have to be able to address those things and bring them out and deal with them.
Yeah, you know, for populations of color in this country, it is very common to see patients struggling with just day-to-day issues,
mm-hmm.
How to pay rent, how to deal with the kids that they have, the educational system. I mean, there are a lot of stressors. There's stressors on your job. If you're a small business owner, you're under a lot of pressure. I know,
yes.
Because I'm a small business owner. So, you know, those kinds of stresses and strains are actually lead to depression.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very subtle. You don't know that you have it. Well, if you have depression and you also have high blood pressure or diabetes, then you tend not to do the things you're supposed to do in terms of eating healthy and exercising and taking your medications like they're prescribed, because you're just fighting these ups and downs that you have.
Dealing with daily life.
Yeah, exactly. And so Healing Our Village has developed tactics and strategies where we work with patients to help them understand what's going on with their life, understand what's happening within their houses and where they live, their communities and their environment, their workplace, mm-hmm. So that they're better able to change their lifestyle and make better choices so that they can become healthier. Because everybody wants to be healthy, and everybody wants to live a long time. I mean, if I've met only one person who didn't want to live a long time, and I've been doing this for about 45 years. So most people want to see their grandchildren and their children get married, and they want to be able to live a happy life. And so Healing Our Village works with patients. And we can do this at the workplace. So that's why I'm very excited about coming on today.
Okay, so you can go into the workplace and work with employers about helping them, because there's obviously a natural benefit to that. Because if employers are engaged in this process, and I can lower my overall, truly my overall healthcare cost.
Exactly.
Because my employees are engaged. They're either exercising or they're focusing on their work-life balance or they're taking care of themselves. ultimately the outcome of all of that, I've got a healthier population of employees.
Exactly.
And so ultimately that again leads to lower cost, people taking care of themselves. And so that's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. So when you look at employers or sort of as it relates to the Affordable Care Act, and you wanted me to kind of comment a little bit about that, for those, as you know, the mandate hasn't happened, and that was going to be for employers that have 50 or more employees that were going to be mandated to have health insurance for those folks. But for that small business that has less than 50 employees, they really didn't have to do the mandate, but yet they still need healthy employees, because if people don't feel well, they don't come to work. And if people don't come to work, then that's an issue.
Productivity issue.
Exactly. If someone falls down because their blood pressure is high at work or their blood sugar is high at work and has a workplace injury, that affects your workman's compensation. So there are good reasons for you to have your employees be more knowledgeable about if their blood pressure is high, if their blood sugar is high, if they're overweight, you know, ways in which they can engage to get some of those extra pounds off. We've done actually workplace exercise programs for
oh, wow. Workplace exercise programs.
Yes.
That sounds like fun.
It is fun. It is fun. And what it does is it decreases the stress. And if you're happy in your workplace environment, you're more productive. So now, there are probably some folks listening to us today that say, oh, well, you know, we have some of the major health care plans, Blue Cross, or we have Centene, or whatever, you know, Georgia health care plan. So we, Humana, Aetna, we have all of this in place. Let me tell you that for people of color, those programs don't necessarily work as well as our programs, because we are really a culturally competent program that's really focused on African-American Latino population. So we're providing those kinds of recipes, those kinds of cooking demonstrations. We do line dancing. So I doubt very seriously you're going to learn how to do blurred lines at the Humana exercise program.
Doubtful. And that's
doubtful.
Good, yeah, and that's good exercise. That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
You learn
line.
How to do it, and you're exercising, and you're working all those muscles you haven't worked before. Now, you can't get up for 2 days, but after that, after you work through that part, you're getting healthier.
You're getting healthier. So we actually come to the workplace. We can provide health screenings there at the workplace. The employer tells us what testing they'd like to do, because actually know what is actually driving their health care costs up. And so they can tell us what kind of chronic diseases that they'd like to detect and what kind of prevention programs they'd like to put in place. And then we have something called Village Club.
Oh.
And then it's a $10 a month membership for the employee and their family. And they are able to call our 24-hour hotline if they have questions. And we actually can schedule them for an interaction with the healthcare professional of their choice. So they can do a nutritional consult or a pharmacist consult or psychology consult or whatever they want. We can provide that with them. And we do it via telehealth.
I was going to ask the question of the telehealth.
Yep. So we're doing
this either
on your computer or your iPad or on your cell phone. If you have one of those smartphones where we can Skype you, we can talk to you right there at the time.
Oh, wow.
And so a lot of people have questions about their medicines they went and saw their doctor.
Can I take these two things together, or should I take them sequentially, or do I take it with milk and then sugar and then a Coca-Cola product?
Exactly. And so when you're looking at the employee costs, right, it's maybe $120 a year for your employees. That's a whole lot less expensive than a healthcare plan. It certainly doesn't take the place of a doctor, but we can be able to, you know, get that going.
Excellent. Oh my. You have got just a plethora of options related to healing our village. And so you said you've been around, is it 3 years? How long has Healing Our Village?
We've been in business for about 15 years.
It's 15 years.
Yeah, and we have operations in Los Angeles, in the D.C., Maryland area.
Okay.
And I've just been in Atlanta since 2012.
Okay, so Atlanta's just been the 3 years.
It's been the three years.
And so talk about small businesses. Obviously, healthcare is very critical.
Yes.
And so talk about, give us your perspective on the Affordable Care as it relates to small business and your perspective on that, because many small businesses are less than the 50.
Yeah.
They are less than 50 employees, and majority are.
Yeah. So, you know, I am the Affordable Care Act had a lot of merits. I think that in many ways it was a wonderful program. And I actually, during those early years when it was first being implemented, was a speaker. I went around and spoke on it. And mm-hmm. I had a radio show at that time called Village Talk. And we talked about the Affordable Care Act during that time period when President Obama first implemented it. Let me tell you the good parts of it. So for the country, for the states that accepted the Medicaid expansion, which Georgia did not.
Yes.
So for the state that accepted the Medicaid expansion and the $90 million that they gave to the state for that.
Georgia did not.
Those states actually really benefited from having that expansion. It increased the number of community clinics. It increased the amount of monies that went to those federally qualified clinics. It increased the number of patients and families that were able to enroll into the Medicaid program. But one thing it did that a lot of people don't know about or think about is there was a lot of money in there for technology. So a lot of minority businesses, technology businesses, benefited from the Affordable Care Act. I know a number of minority companies that are in the healthcare space.
Health IT. Georgia's become one of the leaders in health IT.
That's right.
And as a result of that, okay.
So that did help Georgia.
Okay.
Those health IT programs for both mobile technology and for computer mm-hmm. platforms, those actually really did improve quality. I wouldn't be able to do telehealth right now if that expansion hadn't taken place. A lot of physician offices went on electronic medical records. All of the hospital systems and clinic systems have an electronic medical record. So in many cases now I have access to information about people's health that I did not have 20 years ago. 10 years ago, before the Affordable Care Act. So that was a huge, huge plus. The downside for the states that did not take the Medicaid expansion is they were only able to get what was on the federal exchanges. So this was the thing that people didn't understand. When you took out this idea of pre-existing condition, so when that mm-hmm. went away, so that if you already had cancer or you already had chronic diseases, you weren't penalized for that, what it did was actually penalize the people like me who were healthy. So I didn't have any high blood pressure, and I didn't have any diabetes, and I actually was very healthy for my age. So therefore, I got a benefit on my health care plan because I was healthy. Now, because that's been done away with, I don't get that benefit anymore.
And it's to level out the pool.
It leveled out the pool. So therefore, when I then had to go and renew my health insurance, I got a lot more services. So that is true. A lot of the preventative health things that weren't there before are now there, but my deductibles and my out-of-pocket dollars went up. So for small businesses who have relatively healthy people in their employee pool, mm-hmm. and they go out to shop for health care insurance now, it makes it very difficult for them to find an inexpensive plan that their employees can afford that has a reasonable deduction or copay that you have to pay out of pocket. So most plans, you're paying at least $2,500 to $5,000 as your deductible. And that what that means is that you're on the hook for the first $5,000 or the first $2,500 or the first $1,000 before that plan kicks in. Now, if you go to your doctor, you will only pay a small copay, mm-hmm. right? Usually it's $50 or $75. So from that physician cost. But if you want to get things that aren't just your regular primary care visit, if you want to get physical therapy, for instance, I actually hurt my hip, so I needed to go to physical therapy. So I hadn't used up my deductible, $140 per session. Yeah, it's a lot of money. So what I would think would be a great idea for you all to explore is looking at all your small businesses and seeing if you could put together an insurance collective.
You know what? And we've had some discussions with actually one of the major providers about offering a small business plan that we could look at and offer for members of our MBE constituents.
Yeah, yeah. Because in that way, all of us could benefit from the numbers. Because each
association,
of us have,
kind of an association.
Yeah, exactly. And I've known that has been done in other states, and it really does help those small businesses. So something to put on the parking lot for you to think about as you guys continue to grow your MBEs here in Georgia. So the Affordable Care Plan, I think, has been good for the country. It certainly has insured more people than it had before. My son, who is 24, is still on my health care plan. So that was good, right? Mm-hmm. So it allowed us parents to keep our college kids on our health insurance for at least a few more years. Mm-hmm. So there were certainly some benefits. But still, you know, we're trying to come up with collectives and pooling of resources is the way we have to go.
And so you talked about the telehealth, because that seems to be what's coming up as the next horizon. And the fact that you've already incorporated that technology into what you do, and that's exciting. So talk a little bit more about telehealth and where you see that whole thing going. Because, you know, I was somewhere and someone talked about the doctor. They said, oh yeah, you can see the doctor. You know, they were doing some sort of simulation where, you know, you have something wrong with your arm, and they put it up to the camera and they take a scan of it. The doctor can see it based on where he is, and he can say, oh yeah, you've got a sprain or a broken arm. We're going to do this, and he's somewhere remote.
Yeah, yeah. I actually saw that in actually happen several years ago, actually, in Hawaii. So there was an endocrinologist in Hawaii who had practices on the various islands. And so she was based in Oahu, and she had a clinic in Maui and Kauai, all right? And so she was able to then see her patient's feet, right? Because you have to do a foot check if you're a diabetes doctor. So they'd put their foot up to the camera, and she could look and see if the, you know, what was going on with their feet. And then she'd have one of her nursing assistants do the little pin prick to see if there was any change in the sensation. So telehealth's been around for a while. It now is at a point, though, that everybody has a PDA. Everybody has an iPod or a smartphone. And so because of the phone and mobile technology has just expanded, this is now something we can do for very inexpensively because people already have a device. Mm-hmm. Not only can we do the telehealth platform, but we can actually send them video. We can send them recipes. We can send people text messages and Instagrams. We can send them newsletters. We can do all. We can remind them of their appointments. There's so much that we can do with that telehealth platform, and so we're already doing that in my clinics in the DC area.
Oh wow!
And we're hoping to bring that here to Atlanta as soon as we can.
Where do you? Because you know, again, I'm fascinated by it. I really am fascinated by the whole telehealth and where it's going. Do you see at some point in some of the rural areas that being the doctor?
That's the only, in fact, it's because the healthcare.
It's about cost.
It's all about cost.
It's about taking cost out of it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Bank of America just shut down a bunch of their branches because they're using mobile banking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is where all big corporations will be heading. And healthcare is one of the biggest corporations in this country. So they will move toward this. There's no doubt about that. Especially in the rural areas, it'll probably start there first. But it's also because we are busier as a nation than any other nation. I heard that we have the least amount of leisure and free time of any other nation, nation in this country.
I think I've heard the same thing. Least amount of vacation, yeah. Yep. We're working ourselves right to the ground.
To the ground. And so because we're so busy, we don't have time to take off for work to go see our doctor and sit in the waiting room because they're running late and spend the whole half day there. So to be able to do that from your home or during your break at your job or during lunchtime mm-hmm. is something that many, many people are already doing, mm-hmm. and many more will want that as an option.
And so people tend to still struggle with this work-life balance.
Yes.
And what that looks like and How do you successfully do this balance? And you know, for the office environment, it's difficult. But you offer where you come in and help corporations structure exercise and training programs to help employees. Because again, we're a small office, we've got 7-8 people, and you know, everyone's frantic, and you know, rarely does everybody get out for lunch together. That's just never gonna happen. We're grabbing something and, you know, and go. But if we had someone that came in and put together a program, Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Especially right after work. When I was at the chief of ambulatory care at the VA hospital in Sepulveda, California, we actually the chief medical officer of the hospital actually instituted an employee wellness program, and this was back in the 80s. So we've actually gotten worse, not better. And back in the 80s, he gave all the employees an hour for lunch. And so you were able to go, and we had exercise programs right on at the hospital grounds. Plus, they also had a track, and they had a basketball court. I mean, they actually had places for people to work out. And so
That's nice.
They did that. And they would go, and they would work out, and then they have enough time to shower. And then they'd come back to their desk and eat their lunch at their desk. But they would take that hour to just decompress. And we used to do this workout in the gym. And with all the people that I worked with in the clinic, there was 20 of us. And we actually had a contest of who would lose the most weight. And, you know, I almost won. I was second place. But we had a way to be able to do that, right? And also we had like a smoothie bar, and we had, you know, a lunch truck that would come and give us healthy foods at the workplace. And all of that stuff allowed us to really become a very, very healthy. But it also, they measured productivity, and it increased by 30%.
Oh, wow. Now, so there's a direct correlation between healthy and outcomes.
Yes.
Because that's the missing link.
And employees working, exercising and doing stuff together because it decreases some of that workplace tension.
Stress.
And they also, because you're walking around the block with each other, you get to talk about something other than work. And then you find out you have all these things in common.
Mm.
Yeah. And less differences. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, you're now able to do better at the workplace. So there's all sorts of reasons to develop workplace wellness programs, especially if you have, you know, 20, 30, 40 employees.
Oh, absolutely. I think something. So let's talk about what's on the horizon. Where do you see the company?
Well, for Healing Our Village, we're really very focused on trying to get integrated into the healthcare system here in Atlanta.
Okay.
We're in conversations with Morehouse.
School of Medicine.
School of Medicine and some of the Morehouse healthcare folks, because we have already implemented a lot of our programs in other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. We have data to show that our programs actually are work and very efficient. And so we'd like to be able to integrate into the healthcare system. But one of the major reasons I joined GMSDC is because I wanted to do workplace wellness, because that's where people go. They go to work.
Maybe what we think about is forming some sort of group within the Minority Business Input Committee.
Okay.
That's a work an exercise, because that's basically what it, you know, some sort of exercise form that brings people together to do something.
Right, yeah, and try to get really a template or a plan or a structure around what that would look like, and then being able to roll that out to your folks that you have there.
It's optional. Yeah. You know, again, if 10 people come, that's 10 more healthier people.
Right, exactly. And any of you small businesses out there that would like to contract with Healing Our Village to provide this, we're ready for you to give us a call.
And, you know what? We've got corporations that can come as well.
That's right.
Corporations would want to establish that for their employees.
You would think so.
Or a department or a division that you might want to set up a special program for them, exercise. That sounds exciting and fun at lunchtime or take an hour, an hour and a half or whatever in the day. And then you're increasing productivity.
Yeah, and some of those bigger corporations have cafeterias.
Oh, absolutely.
That really need some help. They're serving fried foods, and they're not cooking healthy. It's not good. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the fun things would be if you had a cooking demonstration, cooking the right healthy foods.
Exactly.
Now that would be fun.
And what we're interested in cooking is healthy soul foods, right? So everybody always talks about healthy foods have to be, you know, a lot of vegetables, and you have to walk it and cook in ways that are not necessarily something that we do in the African American community. We're interested in trying to teach you how to cook healthy, some healthy greens and some healthy sweet potatoes and those kinds of things.
Mac and cheese.
And mac and cheese
healthy mac and cheese. Okay.
And how to even have some chicken that tastes like it's fried but it's baked.
You know what? Now you're messing with the chicken.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry.
You took it to the edge right there.
I did, right
there. Yeah, and just kind of teetered over.
I know. But what can you do? You know, we got to figure this thing. And it's not easy.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing for most people out there, I'm sure, is breakfast. That's the biggest challenge for everybody. So you don't feel bad if you're not getting your breakfast in. So
yeah.
Smoothies and trying to figure out how to drink that protein in and the vitamins in the morning is the way to go.
So as we're wrapping up, Dr. Coleman, I like some of the things we've talked about. I like the group of exercising. I like talking about some of the recipes and the things. That healthy, you know, greens. And I happen not to eat beef or pork, so I eat turkey. Lots of turkey and fish. But, you know, I can. But I have a sweet tooth that's just a mile long.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets you right there. So I've got my other issues. But as we're wrapping up, what are some of the parting words and things that you would recommend to some of our listeners? Many are of color, obviously. GMSDC, we work with people of color and minority businesses. In terms of being healthy, because we've had a focus on if the CEO of the organization is healthy and takes care of himself, you see the employees, that trickles down to a healthy business and the whole organization.
Right.
And so what parting words or advice would you give to create that healthy environment within an organization?
Yeah, well, two things. So the first thing is you need everybody within the sound of my voice needs to know your numbers. So you know your Social Security number, you know your cell phone number, you know your mama's number, you know, but you don't know your blood pressure number. Mm-hmm. You don't know your cholesterol number. You don't know your blood sugar number. You go to the doctor's office and they take blood out of your arm. And then when you go back to see them, you don't make them show you the report. All right. And ask questions like, so why does that word say high right there on that? What does that high mean? So, I mean, I really think that, you know, especially for CEOs and CFOs, you guys know every number in your business and you don't know the numbers for your health. And your health is more important than those numbers because numbers let you come back day to day and be able to grow the business. So that's really important. I think the second thing is that you talked about that work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And that is so hard to do. I just think that, and I struggle with it. I know that if you ask anybody about me, they say, you know, she works 24/7. And I do work a lot. But I do get some play in. All right. And so I do work hard, but I do play very
hard. You play
hard
as well.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
You play hard as well.
And I travel. And when I pick my travel, I travel to places where people can't get me. So I no cell phone coverage, no good internet coverage, so that it's really hard for me to work. Right. Because even if I try to work, I can't connect. So we need to disconnect. And I'm really trying to work harder on disconnecting. So I've now picked Sundays as my day that I don't answer my phone. I don't try to text. I mean, I look at the phone, and unless you're my children pretty much, I don't, or a really good friend who I know I'm going to just have small talk with, I don't answer phones on Sunday anymore. I also do not get email on my phone. I refuse to get email on my phone. And the reason I do that is because if you get email on your phone, you have to answer it back. And I tell people don't text me. If you want an immediate response, then you need to call me and I'll talk to you. Or you can email me because I am on email pretty much all day long. Mm-hmm. But those are two real easy, quick work-life balance things that will help your life.
Great. I want to thank you for joining us today. Look forward to you being engaged. We've got our Blues and Barbecue coming up on the 20th of August out at Stone Mountain Park.
Okay.
We'll have to figure out how we can incorporate something into that event out there.
That'd be great.
That would be perfect.
That'd be perfect as a kickoff.
As a kickoff to MBIC. It'll be perfect.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us. I want to thank our listeners for joining us for this edition of Let's Talk Small Business. Every week, 11:30 with Business Radio X. We look forward to you joining us. Take care. We'll see you next week.